the laws of Allah, knew the law. So I'm not ordering you. إِنَّمَا أَنَا أَشْفَعُ. I'm interceding on behalf of Mughith. She said, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, if that is the case that you are not ordering me, and you are just interceding, لَا حَاجَةَ لِي فِي, then I don't, then I'm in no longer need of Mughith. And she did not go back to him. So these are the teachings of Islam. Pure teaching. Islam does not give the permission to those in charge to marry those in their charge as long as they are sane and mature, force them to marry anyone who they do not wish to marry. Balki Islam goes a step further. And Islam says and announces, according to Fiqh Hanafi, that a woman does not need anybody to give her in marriage. She can marry herself. Though it is desirable and mustahab, preferable, that her wali, those in charge, give her in marriage. It is better that this takes place. The Fuqaya Hanafiya write in this respect, that it is permissible for a woman to marry herself to somebody, marry her daughter to somebody, and even be a representative on behalf of somebody else. Having said this, if she marries outside kuf, marries somebody that is not compatible, in these circumstances the awliya, those in charge, will have the right to object to this marriage. A woman came herself without her wali and offered herself to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Sahal ibn Sa'd al-Sa'idi radiallahu ta'ala relates that it was amongst the people when a woman came herself without her wali and she presented herself to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in marriage. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave no answer. She stood up for a second time and presented herself in marriage to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Yet again Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave no answer. When she stood up for a third time and presented herself, one of the audience, one of the Sahaba stood up and said, Ya Rasulullah, ankihniha. Well, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam, if you have no need, then marry this woman to me. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked the Sahabi, do you have anything with you? He replied, no. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, go and find something. وَلُوْ خَاتَمْ مِنْ حَدِيثِ. Even if it's a ring made of iron. The Sahabi of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam went and returned after a short while and said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I cannot find anything. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to him, هَلْ مَعْكَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ شَيْءٍ. Have you memorized any part of the Quran off by heart? He replied, yes. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that I've married her to you for what you know of the Quran. So these are the teachings of Islam, that a woman can marry herself to somebody without her wali, as long as she's sane and mature. But having said this, it is preferable, desirable, mustahab, that her wali gives her away. And at the same time, after having related these ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this does not give you, the audience, the green light to take this ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam home and begin to debate and argue with your mothers and fathers with regards to this matter. Because under no circumstance have I come today to convey this message. And under no circumstance is it permissible for you to argue with your mother and father. If somebody is suffering from a problem of this nature, then he should consult his local scholars and muftis, ask them the ruling, and act upon it within the limits of the Sharia. But under no circumstance should he himself argue or debate with his mother and father, because the status of one's mother and father is equal to none other. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, سألت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أي الأعمال أحب إلى الله. Then I asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, out of all the deeds that one can do, which is the best deed that Allah loves most of all? He replied, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, As-salatu ala waqtiha. To read salah in its correct time is the best deed that Allah loves most of all. He said, Ya Rasulullah, summa ayyun. After salah, which is the deed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves most of all? He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, after salah in its correct time, the deed that Allah loves most of all is birr al-walidain. Staying in the service of your mother and father, respecting and honoring your mother and father, being dutiful and kind to your mother and father. A man came for mission to ask, asking Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam for jihad. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked him, أَمِنْ وَالِدَيْكَ أَحَدٌ حَيْءٍ? Are anyone of your mother and father alive? He replied, أُمِّي, my mother is alive. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, then your jihad is with your mother. Meaning, go and stay with your mother, be kind and be dutiful, and you will receive the reward of jihad whilst you are in the company of your mother. When he returned to his mom, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said to him, and what precious words, رِضَى الرَّبِّ فِي رِضَى الْوَالِدِ وَسَخَطُ الرَّبِّ فِي سَخَطِ الْوَالِدِ. That the pleasure of your Almighty lies in the pleasure of your mother and father. And the displeasure of your Almighty lies in the displeasure of your parents. Meaning, that if your parents are pleased and happy with you, then think the Almighty is pleased and happy with you. And if your parents are displeased with you, then think the Almighty is displeased with you. Just to utter one word, which hurts the feelings of your mother and father, it is haram to utter one such word. If you open the book of Allah, the book of Allah says, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّهِ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانِ. Wherever he's mentioned himself, thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions parents. That Allah has ordained that you will worship none but He, and you will do good to your parents. إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرْ أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ وَلَا تَنْحَرْهُمَا وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. That if your parents reach old age, one or both, then you will not utter one word, you will not even say the word "uff" to them. And you will not utter one word which brings pain to them, or puts them into takleef and in difficulty. You will respect and honor them. The Quran goes a step further. As you are well aware, there is no sin which Allah hates more than shirk, making partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no sin which Allah detests more than shirk. To the extent that the Quran says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لَمَنْ يَشَاءُ. If Allah wishes, He will forgive any sin He wishes. He will forgive one who drinks wine if he wishes, one who gambles if he wishes, one who commits adultery if he wishes. The Almighty, because He is Ghafoor, He is Rahim, He will forgive any sin He wishes. But there's one sin that the Almighty will never, never forgive, and that is making partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran says, مَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ. Whoever makes partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Jannah is haram on him, he will never enter Jannah. Now bear this in mind. Now bear what the Quran says at the same time. The Quran says, وَإِنْ جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِمَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا. That if one's parents are mushrik, you don't believe in Allah, they make partners with Allah, and at the same time they force their child to commit this evil and great sin, the Quran says, فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا. You will not listen to them in this respect. And that's the law of Allah. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, لَا طَاعَةَ لِمَخْلُوكٍ فِي مَعْصِيَةِ الْخَالِقِ. Wherever the Creator is being disobeyed, at that time there is no obedience to the creation. At the same time the Quran says, after this the Quran still says, وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. Even though this is the circumstance, the Quran doesn't give us the green light to argue and debate with them. If this is the situation of our mother and father, that they are forcing us to make partners with Allah and they themselves mushrikeen, in spite of this the Quran still says, وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. As a child, you will remember that they are your mother and father, and you will respect them, and you will love them, and you will stay in their service, and you will fulfill their rights, and you will make khidmah of them. This is the situation of one's mother and father. Now I don't want to move away from from the title that has been allocated today. But I want all those that are present here to listen to the talk either given by myself on the status of parents or by any other scholar, so that we know where we stand, so we know where to draw the line with our rights and with our mother and father's right. But what I will say is that the very same Allah who's given our mother and father such a status which is equal to none other, the very same being that has given such rights to our mother and father, the very same being has given children rights. And it is the right of the child, staying mature, that he's not forced to marry against his will. The very same Allah has given the child this right, that he should be consulted at the time of his marriage, and as long as he's staying and mature, he should not be forced to marry against his will. And as we have seen, the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam clearly indicated. Having said this, this does not mean that my brothers and sisters go and marry any Tom, Dick and Harry, as is the case today. Any Sharabi Kababi from the street because he claims that he likes you or loves you, under no circumstance. This is the beauty about Islam. It doesn't leave the individual to take this great step all by himself. It guides the individual all the way. The guidance that Islam gives with regards to marriage, no religion offers such guidance. Let me relate a few hadith with regards to choosing a path. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam said, تُنْكَحُ الْمَرْأَةُ لِأَرْبَعٍ لِمَالِهَا وَلِحَسَبِهَا وَجَمَالِهَا وَلِدِينِهَا فَاصْفَرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam said that a woman is married for four reasons. One of four reasons, that is generally the case, that a woman is picked. First, لِمَالِهَا, because she's loaded. You want to marry her because you want a piece of the cake. Easy life, she's a few million in the bank account, you'll never have to work. If you pick a partner like this, you can live off her wealth. So you've seen her and you want to marry her because of her wealth. That's the first reason. The second, ولحسبه, because of her status and accomplishment. She's got a big post, or she's some princess, some royal, and you want to marry her because it will make you look good, the husband of some princess. You will also get a status because of her, so you marry her because of this reason. The third, ولجمالها, you marry her because of her beauty. She's Miss Wonderful. And the fourth reason that a person marries a woman, ولدينها, because she is religious, she is practicing, she's a good Muslim. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam says, and listen very carefully my young brothers and my young sisters, when you intend to get married, make sure that the first thing that you look for is deen. That she is religious, she or he is a good Muslim. She or he is practicing. They obey the laws of Allah and they obey the laws of His Messenger, Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? Because it is Islam that teaches this person who is religious to love you, to respect you, to honor you, to fulfill your rights as a husband or a wife. It is Islam that teaches this individual these things. Wealth, status, money, beauty do not teach these things. They will not teach the woman to love you and respect you and treat you as a husband and fulfill your rights. These qualities are not everlasting. No matter how beautiful a woman is, no matter how rich of a woman is, no matter how big a status she's got, if she does not love you, if she does not respect you and treat you as a husband, I guarantee, if she treats you like dirt, then I guarantee within a few days, you yourself will kick her out of the house. You yourself will get rid of her. If she treats you like dirt and she does not love and respect you, it's within a few hours or a few days, you yourself will get rid of her. So the first quality that a man or a woman to marry should look for in a partner is religion and piety. There was a time that women or men, when they saw this quality in person, they themselves would present themselves to that person. A woman on seeing Nabi alayhi salatu was the hadith of Anas radiallahu ta'ala an, a woman on seeing Nabi alayhi salatu was salam's piety, she herself came to Nabi alayhi salatu was salam and said, "Ya Rasulullah, alaka bi haja, are you in need of me? Would you like to marry me?" When this woman left, Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu's daughter was also present at the time. She said to her father, "What a shameless lady she was. Shame on her." Listen to the reply of her father. The father said to her, "Hiya khayrun mink." You're saying this regarding her, she was better than you. Raghibat fi Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She saw Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. She had a liking for Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. And she presented herself to Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. This was the quality the young men and women of the time were looking for. Deen. Because they knew that that was the key to success. To an everlasting marriage till death do us part, as they say. The fathers of the time had exactly the same mentality. When they were looking for a partner for their daughters, they were looking for a religious partner. And when they found that partner, they did not wait for that person to come to them. They themselves took their daughters and offered it to that man. The hadith in Sahih Muslim, when Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anha's daughter, Hazrat Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala anha, became a widow. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anha, seeing Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala anha's piety, himself came to Hazrat Usman and offered his daughter Hafsa to him. Hazrat Usman at the time replied, "Sa'anzur fi amri, I will think about it." A few days passed. Hazrat Umar met Hazrat Usman for a second time. And Hazrat Usman informed Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anha that it's not possible for me to marry at this moment in time. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anha says thereafter, I approached Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anha. He said, "I said to Hazrat Abu Bakr, in shi' zawajtuk Hafsa. Oh Abu Bakr, if you wish, I will give my daughter in marriage to you." He said, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu remained quiet, he didn't answer. Hazrat Umar says, "I became very angry. I was more angry with Abu Bakr than I was with Uthman because Abu Bakr didn't reply." He says, a few days and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked my daughter's hand in marriage. When I met Hazrat Abu Bakr, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu said to me, "O Umar, perhaps you were angry when I did not reply. The reason I did not reply is because I heard Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam make a mention of your daughter. And I didn't want to spread the secret of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. If Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam left your daughter, then Abu Bakr would have taken your daughter's hand in marriage." So this was the mentality with the children, and this was the mentality of the elders. That when they look for a partner, they look for this first quality. And what is the mentality today with our young ones? That is the last thing they consider. And our elders, the only thing they're concerned about is either chachi ka beta, phupi ka beta, and so forth. So the fault lies with both of us. Nor do the young ones, there's nothing wrong with chachi ka beta as long as the first quality that is looked for is deen. If he is deendar, he is religious, then what better than chachi ka beta? But unfortunately, nor does the young ones look for deen, they'd marry anybody. And how they get into them positions is by committing haram. And our elders also do not consider religion. There are many other attributes which one should look for, but I don't have the time because I've already been speaking for quite a while, but I'm just going to mention a few things before I finish. You can go to your local scholars and ask them what are the attributes or qualities that one should be looking for in a husband or a wife. What I will say is that once you've chosen a partner, the beauty about Islam is that it does not just give you permission to look at the partner, it encourages you to look. It encourages you to look, you go look at it. The hadith, a sahabi came to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and he informed Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that he's intending to marry a certain woman from the Ansar. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said to the sahabi, "Anazarta ilayha?" "Have you seen this woman that you are thinking of marrying?" He replied, "No." Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, "Go have a look at her." Why? "Fa'inna fi a'yun al-ansar shay'a," because there's something in the eyes of the Ansar. It is possible that you dislike this thing and then refuse. Go first, have a look at her before you marry her. So these are the teachings of Islam. Then a step further, Islam goes that once you've decided and pick your partner, it doesn't take hours to get married. The teachings of Islam are so pure that it would take 15, 20 seconds the most to get married. Two sane, mature Muslim witnesses, male. Man says nakahtuk, woman says qabiltu. The witnesses have listened to this and understood this, or words in any language which have the same meaning. In the eyes of Allah, you are married. How long did it take me to say this? 10-15 seconds? In the eyes of Allah, you are married. Now nobody goes saying these words, because even if you're joking, in the eyes of Allah, you'll be married. Likewise, divorce. A lot of people laugh and say, I've divorced my wife. She's gone. Even if you joke, ثَلَاثٌ جِدُّهُنَّ جِدٌّ وَهَزْلُهُنَّ جِدٌّ النِّكَاحُ وَالتَّلَاقُ وَالْإِتَاقُ. Three things which you say in reality will be reality, and when you joke, they still will be reality. And those three things, النِّكَاحُ, to marry. I've said, نَكَحْتُكِ, she said, قَبِلْتُ, there were witnesses there, I'm married. Whether I was joking or whether I meant it. I've said, I've divorced her. Whether I was joking or whether I was serious, she's gone. And freeing the slave, I said, you're free. Whether I was joking or whether I meant it, it's gone. So these are the beautiful teachings of Islam. And the second thing that Islam teaches is that this woman, this act that you have performed is a sacred act. And this woman that you have chosen to become your bride, you cannot have her for free. Because in the eyes of Allah, this act that you have performed has a value. You will have to give a present to this woman. And this present in Islam is called ma'ar, is known as dowry. وَآتُ النِّسَاءَ صَدُقَاتِهِنَّ نِحْلًا. The least limit of which is 10 dirhams, according to Fiqh Hanafi, and the maximum, there is no limit. In the days of Umar, the women began to ask for a lot of dowry. As Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu gave khutbah, stopping women from doing such a thing. He delivered the khutbah. He descended after giving the khutbah, and an old woman stood and said, Umar, what you have said, is that more worthy of following or what the Quran says? He asked, obviously what the Quran says. What do you mean by this? He said, the Quran says, وَآتَيْتُمْ إِحْدَاهُنَّ قِنْطَارٌ فَلَا تَأْخُذُ مِنْهُ شَيْئًا. Umar, you say this, the Quran says if you give him a qintar, a very large amount, even then you cannot take anything from him. Subhanallah, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala replied, kullu ahadin aqqa min Umar. Everybody is more clever and knowledgeable than Umar. Umar climbed the minbar for a second time and rectified his mistake in front of all the audience. Having said this, this does not mean that our sisters begin to ask for a big dowry. Because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, إن أعظم النساء بركة أيثرهن معونة أيثرهن صداقة. That the best of all nikahs is one in which the mahar, this present and this dowry, was left. Because the problem that we have in the Middle East, Eastern countries, is the problem of dowry. The women are asking for ridiculous amounts, 100,000 riyals, and bichara our brothers, because they cannot afford such an amount. This, without a doubt, leads one to commit sin if he's unable to marry. So the best nikah is one in which the mahar was not too much. And finally, the Islam says that now that you have married, Islam encourages you to go celebrate this marriage. And this celebration is called waliyah. Now this does not mean that you take out 10,000 loan and hire the biggest of all halls, one bigger than your neighbor did or your relative did, and the latest limousines and BMs or Mercs and musicians and the work. 99% of things that take place in our marriages are haram. And it is not even sunnah to attend a marriage like that, in which all the laws of Allah are broken. The best walima is the one which is the most simplest. When the best of all creations got married with our mother, Hazrat Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha, he invited the Muslims for his walima, and what did we find on the dastarkhan? There was no chicken, no meat. There were dates, yogurt, dried yogurt, and butter. This was the walima of the best of all creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me the tawfiq to act upon what I have said. And Allah gave you the tawfiq to act upon what I have said. If there is something that has been misunderstood by any of you from what I have said today, then go back to your scholars and ask them to explain in detail. I'm sure they will be more than happy to do such a thing. وَآخِرُ دَوَانَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ